Well, you may have seen that video that's gone viral of a white officer at Spring Valley High School in Columbia, South Carolina, seizing an African-American girl, flipping over her chair, then dragging her across the floor and handcuffing her. It's hard to watch and it's hard to listen to. Reportedly, the teacher said the girl had been disruptive on her cell phone. The resource officer from the sheriff's office was called. The confrontation followed. Now, the local school superintendent says she's deeply concerned by the video and will not tolerate any actions that jeopardize the safety of students. The sheriff has asked the FBI and the Justice Department to investigate. What else might we be seeing here? Marsha Levick is deputy director and chief counsel for the Juvenile Law Center, the country's oldest public interest law firm for children based in Philadelphia. Marsha, your thoughts?
Well, I think one thing that it brings to mind is, in a way, the oxymoron that school resource officer is. We imagine that these are individuals who might actually serve as some sort of positive resource or positive instrument of intervention in schools, but in fact, they don't. They behave like police officers. They are enforcers. And I think this video is an example of how their involvement in schools really contributes to mayhem rather than contributing to anything positive.
Well, you're agreeing with critics who've long said that it's like the old saying, a carpenter with a hammer sees everything as a nail, that a police officer views things through a criminal lens. And when you have these resource officers in the classroom, there's a surge in charges of criminality as opposed to discipline.
Absolutely. And I think that's a perfect analogy. They see their jobs, as I said, as enforcers. They think of this largely through a criminal lens, and they're going to respond in that fashion rather than thinking about some positive form of intervention.
So how widespread are the use of resource officers? We spoke to William Eckenberger. His book was Kids for Cash, based on a case in your area. We know you were involved in that. But as part of his writing about a sort of school-to-prison pipeline, he noted resource officers and how when you bring them in, you tend to have more kids and more kids of color charged with crimes as opposed to discipline for things that used to be considered, you know, regular behavior.
That's exactly right. School resource officers are in schools across the country. It is something that came about largely in response to Columbine and schools focused on keeping students safe, but again, seeing every problem through only one particular lens.
Yeah, what do you tell beleaguered teachers who might be confronting kids who are really disturbing the peace in the school and feel that they can't handle the kids who might get into scuffles? Or in this case, a young girl who reportedly would not leave the class as the teacher asked her to?
Well, I think that it's about changing the culture in our schools and, frankly, throughout our society. We tend to respond to behavior with a punitive mindset. So if something goes wrong, we think we should punish it.
Is this also, back in the day, kids who misbehaved or got into scuffles ended up in the principal's office. Is this taking teachers out of the equation of disciplining kids?
I think it's taking the schools out of the equation. Teachers did, in fact, used to simply send someone to the vice principal's office. There are many school districts in this country that take truancy as an opportunity to refer kids to the juvenile justice system. And in many instances, the juvenile justice system then refers those children to juvenile correctional facilities for truancy. And the consequences of placing kids in the juvenile justice system are now known to be negative.
Do you have a sense of how many there might be? We were reading a 2013 New York Times article about how police in schools in Texas wrote more than 100,000 misdemeanor tickets every year.
Well, I was going to say the number is definitely measured in the millions. And again, many of those suspensions are for incredibly trivial forms of misconduct. And to magnify what's going on and elevate these things to conduct that would justify some type of law enforcement response is something we really need to take another look at.
Well, it's one thing to be suspended, but we're reading about, let's say, a 12-year-old in middle school scuffled with another boy, was given a citation, had to go to several court appearances, paid a fine, sentenced to hours of community service, and had to go back when he was 17 to get his criminal record expunged. If he didn't, that scuffle would be on his record.
Right. And think about the damage that that does. sometimes what seems like a low-level response ends up being a much more significant intervention if kids are unable to pay these costs or fines, which, of course, is not unusual.
And then suddenly they have arrest warrants on them.
Exactly.
Marsha Levick, Deputy Director and Chief Counsel for the Juvenile Law Center in Philadelphia. We'll continue to follow that story out of South Carolina. Marsha, thank you.
You're welcome.